What a blessing it is to be back in the Lord's house this morning. It's good to have a surprise visitor with us today. Didn't know Mar and Preston were coming in, but good to see my daughter and her husband. And it's good to see each and every one of you that are here this morning. We generally recognize people whenever they graduate high school and graduate college and stuff, but they won't be here, so I'm going to recognize them. You may not like this or may like it. You shouldn't be doing that. Well, I'm proud of my kids. Mara and Preston will both graduate this year with their masters. Preston this month, and then Mara a little bit later, because Mara will not graduate here. She'll graduate in London, England. She'll be graduating from Florida State University in London on the London campus, and Preston graduates from Wake Forest University. And then immediately back, this may be one of the last times you see them for a while. And I say a while, Preston has been accepted to Brown University to start his PhD program in the classics. So congratulations to my kids. And that's just something I wanted to do as a daddy. You say, you did that as a daddy? I did it as a daddy. And I ain't taking it back. Just so happened that her daddy happens to be the pastor, but I don't get to see them often. I don't get to tell them, but I'm proud of my kids. I'm proud of all of them. They're all making a great difference in this world. And I'm really, really proud of that. So you kids just keep serving the Lord. I believe God's got his hand on you, and I believe you're going to go places in life. The book of John this morning, if you want to follow along, chapter number 15. Thank you, Preacher Kenny, for preaching on grace for me on Wednesday evening. You pray for Brother Kenny. He'll be here again this coming Wednesday evening. And Brother Gwen, 1 week from this Wednesday, he'll be standing for me here. And Brother Larry Key will be here tonight. You say, why are you lining all that up? Brother Gwen will be filling in for me here next, not this Wednesday night, but next while I'm at Chestnut Hill Missionary Baptist Church in a revival. Brother Kenny will be here for me this week while I'm in a revival at Liberty Baptist Church. And Brother Larry Key will be here tonight for me. I'll be kicking off that revival up at Liberty Baptist Church for Brother Russell Sheets. So you pray for the folks up on the mountain. One's in Lansing, the other one's over in Jefferson, that God will touch my voice. As you've already heard, Brother Steve or some, or Brother Lewis, I believe that it was, or somebody mentioned it. Somebody mentioned in a prayer even that God will touch my voice. Anytime you're a preacher, it lands in your throat. I don't know why it is, but it is, and that's what's happened. I've had a sinus infection, an ear infection, but hopefully I'm on enough antibiotics to knock it out. You can treat me like I got the plague. That's fine. I don't care, you know. It's just what it is. I don't think you can get it, but if you're afraid you're going to get it, I'll be up here and you go out that way. How about that? And I'll try not to spit beyond about 3 pews back. Brother Grant, Karen, good to see y'all back. Y'all were right at the very edge of eternity. Brother Grant had pneumonia and they had the flu, and it's just been going around my dear wife's back. She slipped in late because she's still not better. But anyway, y'all pray for Miss Cindy. I love you and I love each and every one of you. My little brother's sick again. Everybody's sick. Everybody's been sick or got somebody is sick. Say amen. Amen. Listen, God knows what we need. Talk to you this morning just a few minutes with the Lord as my helper about friends. I asked you what kind of a friend you are. And then I'll ask you what kind of a friend you keep. Brother Larry Key preaches to prisons, youth all the time, young people. And I can't help but think that while Brother Larry's on those mission trips and he's in those places that the young people are at, locked up behind bars. And Brother Derek, where are you at? Derek Bumgarner's here somewhere. Brother Derek and those folks that go over to Alexander, you're in a youth, what do you call that? Juvenile youth, it's the Alexander Juvenile Center. Juvenile meaning young people. I can't help but believe that Brother Larry's mixed congregation and the congregation that you go to and minister to over in Alexander County and Taylorsville, some of those are there because of friends. I believe that. And that's why I want to talk to you today. Brother Steve Pope challenged you whenever he did his little illustration here during the This Generation for Christ youth rally we had last weekend on Saturday. He brought out a lot of different devices, tablets and pads and phones and this and that. And he talked about the destructive nature of those things. They may keep you in contact with somebody miles away, but they may separate you from somebody that's in the same room with you. And you saw that. He said you need to get out of those things. And he brought them up here and beat them. And then he challenged each and every one of us. He said you need somebody to hold you accountable. You remember that? Those that were here, he said, you need somebody to hold you accountable and ask you, how are you doing with the inner man? That's what he was preaching on, the inner man. And whenever he was saying, how are you doing with your inner man? He's not asking you how your insides are and if you're eating healthy and if you're being all the different things that the inner man. He's talking about how is it with your soul? How is it on your, how's your spirit? How's your soul? How's that inward man, and how's he doing? And if you've got somebody that'll call you out once in a while, maybe on your inward man, and just ask you, how you doing, brother, spiritually speaking? How are you? But how is everything between you and the Lord? Some of them, if they're a real, real, real close friend, some of them just might tell you, Brother John, right now, son, I'm glad you asked me because I'm struggling. I'm struggling. And if they're honest with themselves, Brother Kenny, they may come to you. And you may be, honest, honestly, you may only be one friend in somebody's life. Do you realize that statistics show that in real life, now, I'm not talking about being friendly to. I'm not talking about, you know, friend, it's good to see you. I ain't seen you since. I just run into one of those. I graduated from high school with a boy 34 years ago, or whatever it was. And I run into him this week. And man, it's good to see you. It'd be easy for me to say, man, friend, it's good to see you again. But is he really my friend, or am I just being friendly? You know, science has proved that we've got fewer than five real friends in our lives. Fewer than five. That's amazing to me, preachers, that we would have fewer than five people that we could really call friends. You say, well, you better define friend. A friend is a close acquaintance. I wrote the definition down so that I could give it to you by Merriam-Webster's standard. A friend is one who is attached to another by affection. One who garners esteem, respect, and affection of another toward another that leads them to a desire to be in their company, to promote their own happiness and the happiness of others and their prosperity. We have fewer than five of those people in our lives. That amazed me. You can go down to Baptist Hospital, which I go there frequently. You can go down to Forsyth Hospital. I challenge you to go to Wilkes. You may have 5,000 Twitter followers, 400 Facebook friends, 300 My Face or My Space or My Grace friends, and not have one person in that waiting room waiting for you while you're in surgery. I'm just being honest with you. You say, well, preacher, we'd have been there when you had your heart catheterization, or we'd have been there when you had your gallbladder removed, or we'd have been there when you had your hernias fixed, but you told us not to come back. I'm not talking about out of sense of duty or obligation toward a pastor, toward a deacon, toward another church member. I'm talking about friends. You say, preacher, you just preached on friends not long ago. Ask God about it. I don't know why God does what God does, but I went together last night with the Lord as my helper. About a quarter after midnight, I went to bed with Psalm 84 on my mind, about a day in thy courts. I was going, brother, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the gates of my heaven. I'd rather be there. And that's where I thought I was going to be. But when I got up this morning, about 6 o'clock, when I woke up and started tossing and turning, that message was gone. And I started, Lord, what is it? What is it? What is it? And he said, I want you to talk about being my friend. Brother Scott, come back up. Where you at, son? God's telling us how to orchestrate this. Stand to your feet. Macy, come back. Miss Joe, come down wherever Joe went. Joe's still over here. What a friend we have in Jesus. We're going to preach this message today. I want to read two verses of scriptures. You can grab your Bible, and I promise you I'll not take them out of context, and I will not read them wrong if I get my glasses I want. And then you can look at them when you get turned back around. The song will make a lot more sense to you if I read these two verses of Scripture. John chapter number 15, verse number 13 says, let's just get 12, 13, 14, and 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then he says, there's one little conjunction in here. There's one little caveat in here. There's one little word in the 14th verse that tears your pea patch up, that puts a question mark around whether or not you really are friends with the Lord, or whether or not you are enemies of God. If you are a friend of the world, the Bible says you're an enemy of God. Is that right, preachers? Don't be so friendly with the world that you forget who called you from the world. But it says, ye are my friends. And here's that word. If you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And then 18 of the book of Proverbs in 24. 18 and 24 in Proverbs said, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. As we sing, what have you got?
Number
341. Sing it like you have a friend, if you have a friend in Jesus. Sing it that way. I don't usually do this. I'm going to give you a couple things to consider. A friend is someone to you that is close. Okay? This said, oh, what peace we often forfeit, and what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You cannot talk to somebody who is afar off. Let's just be honest with yourself, Brother Dan. I can't carry on a conversation with you if you're over yonder and I'm over here. Husbands, listen to me. Your wife had better be your best friend aside from Jesus. And you had better be talking to her. But you had both better be talking to God. Okay? Now, I think it may have been Miss Melissa or somebody put this little pyramid out there on the internet. And I got to see that thing, and I'd seen it before, but man, it made it so obvious whenever I saw it. And what it was is at the pinnacle of the pyramid, they had put the word God. And on one corner, they had put the husband, and on one corner, the wife. And they were trying to make this illustration that if God is the pinnacle and you're here and you're here and you are both angling closer toward God, you do come closer together. And there's utmost truth in that. But my friends, it works well this way too. If you put yourself there and you put the church here, if the church goes closer to God, you go closer to God, you're going to be closer as a church. It works that way in ministry. It works that way in family. If you're that way as a husband and a wife, you get close together. What needless pain we bear and what peace we forfeit whenever we don't talk to that one which is supposed to be the closest to us. Man, we're forfeiting some peace. When I'm not speaking to Jesus, I'm forfeiting peace. I've got turmoil in my life. But when I'm not speaking to Miss Cindy, I'm telling you, I don't have peace. Why? Because she is my dearest friend on this earth. In bodily form, she is the one. And she's supposed to be the one. If I've got another, let's just say that Brother Gwen, you and I talk daily and we talk incessantly and we're just so tight. We're texting, we're talking and we're talking and we're texting. And I tell you my inner thoughts and I tell you all my things. And then when I get home, I don't speak to her. We've got a problem.
Yes.
What peace we often forfeit and what needless pain we bear. Why? Because we're not close to our dearest, dearest friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep going. It gets better, believe me. Did you hear that? Have we trials and temptations? Anybody here got any of those? Brother Gwen, in your life, have you had any trials? Preachers, friends, church members, loved ones, have we not had some trials? Have we not undergone some temptations? The Bible says, this song says, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Just take it to our friend. That's what he's saying. You said, it says, take it to the Lord in prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ penned these words down. You are my friends. I call you no longer servant, but I call you a friend. If you do what I tell you to. The next one says, are you weak? Go ahead, Brother Scott. Just play softly for me. Sit down. We're not even going to sing. Y'all be seated just a minute. Just play softly because I want you to hear this. Are you weak and heavy laden? You say, what's that word laden mean? I see that a lot of time. Are you saddled up? Are you yoked up? Are you laden? Are you burdened? Are you encumbered? Are you pressured by something that is so much larger than self? I've seen people, Brother Gene, you mentioned this a while back. You said, preacher, I used to drive by there, never even really coming over there. And he said, because that was always a big church. And he said, big churches sometimes scare me because when you get in a big church, Brother Gene, you're right. You think it's a big church because it's a big church, you've got compromise. And because you've got compromise and I've got standard, I don't want to be a part of a big church because I don't want to be associated with compromise. My friends, let me tell you this. We can have a big church and not compromise if we build it upon the precepts of God's word and do it right. This says, are you weak and heavy laden, cumbered down with a load of care? If you are, there is hope. But you got to go to the help. You got to go to the friend. This next part says, precious Savior, still our refuge. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. It says these words, do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Have you ever been forsaken by a friend? Oh, is that not hard? Somebody you loved and you trusted, next thing you know, they were hugging you with one hand and there was a blade in your back. Brother, that's tough stuff. You felt it. Not the warm embrace, but you felt the slithery blade as it slid between your shoulder blades. You were being hugged up front and stabbed in the back. That's hard. We don't soon recover from those, especially when it happens within the confines of a church house. Church hurts are hard. But it says, do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Just take it to the Lord in prayer. Because in his arms, oh, he's not going to backstab you. In his arms, he'll take and shield thee. That will find solace there. Miss Macy, thank you. I've had you stand and I've already read the reading of the scripture. I'm not going back to make you stand again. But I want to hit a few points really quickly as long as the Lord will allow us, as long as my voice will hold out. I want to say this. Close friends do things together. You say, well, I'm talking about going out to eat with my wife. I'm not talking about your wife. I'm talking about close friends do things together. You say, well, who are you preaching about? I'm talking about you and Jesus. Amen. Who is your friend that sticketh closer than a brother? That should be the Lord Jesus. Amen. Who said, you are my friends if you do so whatsoever? That's the Lord Jesus. He said that no greater love than this, than a man will lay down his life for who? His friends. What did he do? He did just that. He laid down his life for his friends. You know, close friends, Brother Scott, they do things together. Closeness of friendships means that we go out to eat together. We sit together. We talk together. We watch TV together. We go to bed together. We do the things that friends do. You say, well, you go to bed with your best friend? I go to bed with Jesus every single day of my life. I go to bed with my wife because she is my wife, but she is my friend. But I'm preaching about Jesus this morning. And I just want you to say that if you're not close to your friend, if you're not close to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, then you're not going to be as close to your earthly friend as you need to be. I'm telling you what, Brother Kenny, you and Miss Shirley might have the marriage just made on high. I mean, you look at her, and every time you see her, you see starburst and fireworks, and you see the rainbow of halo around her, and that crown of jewel that God gave. You might see that every time, and she might see that when she looks at you, but sometimes in my mind, she looks at you with a little bit of disgust. she looks at you like, oh, really? Sometimes she looks at me and thinks, oh, did I marry him? Sometimes you look at him. Sometimes, most of the time, all the time, Macy's over her mouth and all the time. Let me tell you, sometimes you look at Preston and you think, really? And sometimes you look at Mara and you think, really? Honestly? Sometimes I look at her and I think, what? And you do the same thing. But I'm telling you, the Lord never looks down on Archie Johnson and said, I died for that. The Lord doesn't do that. The Lord doesn't look at us that way. He doesn't say, oh, I died for Gwen Anderson. Lord, help me. No, God doesn't do that. Hebrews 13, verse number 8 says what? He said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's not just a close friend. But my friend, he is a constant friend. He is a constant companion. He is steadfast. He's always there, never wavering. And I want you to see that steadfastness of a friend. Have you ever saw somebody, Brother Tam, and you thought they were friends? You were close with them, as we preached about closeness, and you were seemingly yoked up. You had a common spirit. You had a common oneness with them. And the next time you see them, Brother Grant, they're standoffish. They're back here. They don't want anything to do with you. They even avoid you like you've got the plague. They go full circle to not associate with you. It makes the mind wonder, what did I do? Well, let me tell you, if there's separation between you and the Holy One, let me tell you who's not changed positions. It wasn't him. He is your constant companion. He is your constant friend. If anybody's changed position in the equation, it must be you. It must be me, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We nailed that down a minute ago out of the book of Hebrew. He doesn't change. He's always there. He is a constant companion. So what changed? We did. Churches change. People change. Marriages change. If I were to give you a marriage seminar today, one of the points I would say is you better love your mate. And you better make sure she is your truest friend. You better make sure he is your truest friend. Because whenever the kids are grown and the kids are gone and they're outside of your house, they're grown and gone. Let me tell you what, it's going to be very, very quiet in there if you only were holding it together because of the kids. But once they're gone and you fluff your nest and the one that you still that's still left in the house with, and that nest is an empty nest, but bless God, Mama Bird and Daddy Bird are still in love and they're still friends with one another. Let me tell you, the kids weren't holding that thing together. It was God that put it together. It was God that was holding it together, and the friendship's still there. And bless God, it's a good place to be. You know, I just stay together for the kids. I would to God you stay together because you love the person. Because God put you together. Because you're best friends. Friends should be close. Friends that are close do things together, don't they? Don't they go places together? Don't they talk to one another? Do you ever have a little talk with Jesus? Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our every cry and he will answer by and by. If you don't talk to him, I wonder, do you love him? And I know he's wondering, where are you at? I thought you was my friend. I've said friends do stuff together. Well, how come you ain't with me? How come you don't talk to me? Don't friends want what's better for the other one? Miss Ella, honey, are you in middle school? Do y'all ever run into any problems among friends? Got some peer pressures and peer group pressure. Honey, you make it so easy for me. I don't want to use Elle today. I'll just use somebody else. Do you ever feel the peer pressures? Do you ever have that one friend that's always trying to shame you? Always trying to put you down to maybe exalt their own position? Friends don't do that to you. You know what? If you've always got a friend trying to blow out your flame to make theirs look brighter, you need another friend. Amen? If your friend's always pushing you down to make themselves stand taller, you need another friend. If your friend is not that friend that's giving you good counsel, you need another friend. If you've got a friend that's always advising you the wrong way, and because of their advice, listen, I've watched enough Beaver Cleaver to know that every one of our lives have got an Eddie Haskell. Y'all not understand what I'm talking about? Y'all know Eddie? Eddie's always getting Wally and Beaver into trouble. I'm telling you that. And it's that way in everyday life. There's friends out there that do not have your best interest in mind, and they will take you down a road of debauchery. They'll take you down a life of shame. They'll put you down. They'll criticize you. They're always pestering. Never any optimism in them. And because of that, what do you get running around with? You become just like them. You become a negative Nelly. You become pessimistic about everything. Everything you're a cynic about, you're critical in spirit, critical in nature. And the Bible said in the 77th division of Psalms that I murmured and complained against God. And when I did, it overwhelmed my soul. Yes. That's what it'll do. Yes. Cynicism, criticism, pessimism, always looking down, never looking up. That stuff will defeat you. Look up. Be around people that exalt you. Help them to soar and let them be the wind beneath your wings that helps you to soar. If you're not doing that, I'd find some more friends. I don't mean be mean to them. I don't mean go on and unfriend them. And I don't mean to. I'm talking about quit spending time with them. Unless you're going to lift them up. But close friends do that for one another. Go with me to the book of 1 Samuel just a minute. I won't dwell here long, but 1 Samuel chapter number 13. It may be 2 Samuel, but I believe it's 1. I didn't mark my Bible up. It is actually 2 Samuel. I said 1 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 13 just for a minute. Close friends offer good criticism. I've said my wife is my worst but best critic. And it needs to be that way. I am hers. She's the one that'll tell me when I've got a little something right here. You need to go check your nose, sweetie. Is she being mean to me by saying I've got something I need to go get off the end of my nose? Is she really saying, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. She'll just say, huh, you need to go check your nose. Do I get mad at her for telling me that I've got a booger? Really? Why should I get mad at her? I would rather her tell me that I've got something I need to take care of than for 500 of y'all to come out. Did y'all see that? He had this big old... Brother, she can critique me. I'm okay with that. Bless God, I've been married to her long enough. She should be able to tell me to zip your pants, check your nose, do this, do that. Friends would be honest with one another, and friends that will be honest with one another will help each other in the long run. It might not seem pleasant. It might not even seem like her job to tell me that, but at the time, it's okay. Tell me. I'd rather it happen that way. Amnon fell a-lusting for his half-sister Tamar. And whenever Tamar is in the chamber, she's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful girl to look upon. So what happens is namely this. We've got two buddies. One's named Amnon. The other is named Jonadab. They get together. And while friends talk, do not friends talk? Yes, they do. You know what, brother? I won't tell you what. I just happen to tell you this because you're my buddy. Man, I've been looking at Tamar. And boy, she is pretty. As Brother Tommy would say it, well, can I use that, Tommy? Have you told Mary Doris that yet? I don't know if I need to be talking about hot topics in here. Tommy come out, it slipped out on Tommy in the Sunday school class the other day about somebody being hot. Like, what? A hot knockout. Tommy said a knockout. We've all got terminology. But Anthony could have said, I think my sister's a knockout. I think she's hot. Look at her. She's gorgeous. What'd Jonadab say? He said, brother, you're sick. You're a sicko. That's your sister. You're crazy. That's not what Jonadab said. Read on in there just a minute. Chapter number 13. I'm not going to be here just a minute. I don't even know why I'm preaching this. But it said that in verse number 2, it said Amnon was, let's just read 1, 2, 3, 4, wherever we got to go. And it came to pass that after this, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed, or he was fixated. He was distressed over her. He was lustful toward her. He had fornicating thoughts toward her. And that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, and that she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. What did this friend do? Look at verse number 5. Jonadab said unto him, lay down on your bed and make yourself sick. Just act like you're sick, and you know what's going to happen. Your daddy's the king. What's he going to do? He's going to send Tamar in to your room with some morsels, some bread. And when she comes in, just have your way with her. Let me tell you, that's ungodly counsel from an ungodly man that should not have went down in my mind as being a close friend. But the Bible said he had a friend, and it's in there for our admonition today to know that we better watch who we befriend. We better watch that stuff. You get the wrong friend, gives you wrong counsel, brother, you're in a wrong position. Am I right or wrong? Keep going on down. Go back to our scripture in John chapter number 15. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. A friend's supposed to be close to you. A friend should be constant to you. I'm going to talk about the same. Yesterday, today, and forevermore, as we talked about the Lord Jesus Christ. A friend should be challenging unto you. Proverbs chapter number 27, verse number 17 says these words. Iron sharpeneth iron. You said, what is that? That's taking the blade to the fro. You know what a fro is? Most of you got a knife block in your kitchen. It comes with something that's called a fro. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's a big old thing. Y'all didn't know what it was. You thought you were supposed to hit your husbands with it or something. That's actually a fro. And you're supposed to take your knife to it. It's taking an iron, a steel blade against a steel rod that's got little grooves in it, and that sharpens the other. The Bible said that iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of what? A friend. Are y'all following me? Did y'all mark that one or even hear that one? Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Get around somebody that lifts you up. Get around somebody that will challenge you. Brother Pope said, find somebody that'll get in your court, Brother Gerald, that'll be in your favor, that'll be in your interest, that wants to see you benefit, that wants to see you lifted up, that wants to see you successful, that wants to see you your ministry grow, that wants to see the blessings of God on your life. Get around that person and hang out with them that they can sharpen you up. And in turn, when you're sharpening them, brother, you're sharpening them, but they're sharpening you in return. You're lifting each other up. I'm telling you, the more time you're around Jesus, it'll sharpen you. It'll hone you. It'll knock off the dross and cut out the dead stuff. It'll take care of that needs purging. It'll boil the dross to the top that it can be removed by grace. I'm telling you, brother, there's something about spending some time with your friend. You've heard an old cliche statement saying it's hard to soar like eagles when you do what? Y'all don't know that one. Who got that? Sharon, you're used to that because you're with... Never mind. Oh, that was you. I didn't mean to say she was running with a turkey. It's hard to soar with eagles when you run with turkeys. And you would know. As Kim floats his arm out there. Soar with eagles. Lift up each other. Sharpen each other. Challenge each other. Hold each other accountable. Preston, go to your dad and say, Dad, how's things going? They're all right. You know how John is. You know, I don't know. I can't tell you. I can't tell the beginning from the end from the beginning. I don't know. I'm a mess. That's pretty much the way you are about 99% of the time. Dad, I ain't talking about your work situation. I ain't talking about the bills being paid. I'm talking about how it's between you and God. Get along with him. Ask your son. Say, son, I want to talk to you. Don't ask him if he needs new slippers. Don't ask him if he needs a new underwear. Don't ask him if he needs a t-shirt. Ask him, say, son, how is it between you and the Lord right now? Do I need any help you with anything? Anything I can help you pray about? Go to him and help him. Iron will sharpen iron. Find some obscure passage of scripture that you know the meaning of. You know that you know the meaning of it. Preston, would you help me right here with this verse of scripture, son? What in the world does that mean? Help me with that, would you? You already know the answer. You're trying to help him. I'll be doing that a lot with my son-in-law someday. Help me! I call him up now. How do you pronounce this? I don't know. I give it to y'all, and you're like, that's not the way it is. I say, okay, I'll go back to the Wilkes County way of doing it. We preachers, we slaughter the Bible when it comes to pronunciations of words. We're terrible. I'm going to leave you with this last one. You say good, and in closing. That's my favorite three words, in closing, and in closing. A friend. Yeah, should be close, should be constant, should be compassionate, should be concerned and caring. All these things that I've given to you, right? But there's one that if you don't believe me, you don't have the right friends. A friend should really be convicting unto you. You say, now, friend never convicts me. A friend speaks to the inward man, does he not? Why? Because they're close to you. We've done been down that road, Brother Terry. You say, now, my friends don't really convict me. You take one of your friends that you used to run around with and them come up to you right now. And they know you're friends because you've been friends for years. Maybe you've had a spiritual awakening. Maybe you've just got saved. Maybe you've been saved forever, but you finally rededicated to the Lord. And then them come up to you with some vileness, some filth. Or you go up to them. Let's just turn tables. You go up to them. I want to tell you this joke. I want to show you this picture. And they say, nah. I really don't. I'm not interested in that. You know what that just did to you, Brother Tam? It stuck you right where it hurts. If I go up to you, Preston, I want to tell you about this. You know, it's not a dirty joke, but it's got a pun. Well, if Preston said, well, I just assume not hear it then. You know what that just did to me? It just put me on notice. You know what that's called? That's called conviction. You know what that conviction is speaking to? The conscience of man. But you know what happens in the latter day? The Bible said that men's conscience become what? Seared. Sealed over. Seared. That we're not bothered. And if a man's conscience gets seared, that filth and vileness and the baser things of life no longer really affect us. We need to get back closer to our true friend Jesus. But a true friend will convict you. They'll convict you by their actions, and you'll look at them and you'll think, well, I've always been able to sit around a table with them. I wasn't drinking. They were drinking, but it wasn't bothering me. Listen, I don't want the stuff on my table. I don't. I don't want it at my table. I don't. But, brother, if you all of a sudden, you've always sat with them and they've always drank, and then I'll say, I'd rather y'all not order that. I'm a deacon down at the church, or I'm a pastor, or I'm a preacher, or I'm a this, I'm a that. I'm a Christian, and I've got a testimony. That's the only thing really that I own. I'm still paying for my house, I'm still paying for my car, I'm still paying for this. I really don't own anything in this life, but I do own my testimony. That's the only thing I have, and I'm trying to guard it. Would y'all not order that tonight? Would y'all not order those drinks tonight? Because I've got some other church members sitting over here, and I've got to guard my testimony. You know what? You just convicted them. Or if they looked across and said, table, said, please don't do that. You know what? They convicted you. Good friends will convict each other. That's what the Lord, going back to where our closest friend is, that's what the Lord will do. He'll convict you. You'll start to do something, and it won't take 6 months. Oh, Brother Gwen, it's not some 12-step purity process. You don't need a patch. You don't need a drip. You don't need some solution. You just need grace. And once you truly get saved by grace, Brother Kenny, the closeness that you are, the closer you are, the better you can hear. If you don't believe it, let me start whispering. Can you hear what I'm saying to you? other side of the building. Can you hear what I'm saying? I'm talking to John Shoemaker. Don't turn me up, Jesse. I thought you were turning me up so John Shoemaker could hear me. Kenny heard every word. I told Kenny, I said, I'm talking to John Shoemaker on the other side of the room. He heard me because of the proximity. Why? Because he's close. John couldn't hear me. You said, why'd you use John? Because he's over there and I'm over here. But there's one other reason. There was a man in the Bible named John. He was called John the Beloved. He was the communing disciple. He was the disciple whom Jesus loved. According to who? According to John. Matthew didn't write that. Mark didn't write that. Luke didn't write that. That disciple whom Jesus loved. Who's it? Who is that? That's John. Where's it recorded? In John. He's the one that laid his head upon the very breast, the bosom, the chest of Christ. Brother, when you're that close, if I got that close, you know what? I can feel the nostrils. I can feel the breath of God on me. You said that was the breath of Jesus. He was God. Let's take that up in another debate. If you don't think Jesus was all God, then we got a problem already. Amen. He was God the Father, God the Son, Amen. And God the Holy Spirit. But he could hear the heartbeat. He couldn't just feel the breath from another country. He couldn't just feel the breath from the nostrils of Almighty God. He could hear the very heartbeat of God. Yes. And if God were to whisper, he would have heard it.
Right.
You remember Peter? What's up with John? What'd the Lord say? Peter, you worry about Peter. He said, what is that to thee? Peter, you take care of Peter and let me take care of John. That's what he was saying. As we stand all over the house today,